folks, we are back. Hate to interrupt that good banjo picking, I really do. But anyway, our guest tonight for about 10, 15 minutes max is going to be Leonard Harvey. Leonard Harvey is working with Phil, and he's helping Thomas Deegan with some with his situation, trying to help this man who committed no crime to get out of jail. Folks, today you're put in prison indefinitely for thought crimes and for having your own belief system. You know that already. But let's go to Leonard Harvey. Leonard, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor Butch. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well, sir. I know we're cramped for time tonight. This open line Friday, take all the phone calls we can, so we got to hurry through this. But tell the folks a little bit about yourself and who you are.
Well, my name is Leonard Harvey, and I live here in California, we like to call it, but it's California. Basically, I've been in private law for quite a number of years, studying up, and I'm trying to stay out of the statutory type enslavement that we're all under. But anyway, we ran into. Do you want me to go into some of the things that I ran into today? That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, very quickly, please. Yes.
Okay. Well, I made a phone call this morning to Rubenstein's office, who happens to be the warden the top guy at the corrections for the West Virginia Corrections Department of Corrections.
Mm-hmm.
And I called and I spoke to the receptionist and said that I would like to speak with Mr. Rubenstein. And she said that he wasn't in, but she could pass me on to her secretary. So she did so, and I spoke to the secretary and told her that I think that Thomas David Deegan needs to be immediately released from his unlawful incarceration, and I believe that there should be some credit for time served, and I'm under the understanding that Mr. Rubenstein can actually credit him for good time served. And she took down the note, and then probably 3 or 4 minutes later, I get a call back from their lead counsel. And that kind of set me off. I went off on this lady. I told her my thoughts in regards to the unlawful incarceration because of the no harm, no property damage, and that it was a total crime that Thomas David House of Deegan is in prison. So she goes on and says the only way he can be released is if we receive an order from a circuit judge or the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals and said, wait a minute, ma'am, you're way out of base here, because you have to understand that the whole state of West Virginia is in total default and dishonor. Therefore, they don't exist. They're operating on what's called a non-corporate charter. In other words, their corporate charter has been dissolved when they became in default dishonor due to the case that Phil Hudock, Gene Stallnecker, and Thomas David House of Deegan, the complaint that they filed back last year. And she just said, well, that's your opinion. I said, ma'am, it's not an opinion. It is a fact, in law, at law, and otherwise. Well, anyway, we went back and forth, and I'm telling her that it's totally unlawful and that he needs to be. It just went on and on and on. But anyway, bottom line on that is I didn't get anywhere, but I think I stirred up some stuff. And she did say that she's going to be turning over this conversation to the proper authorities, whatever that means. You can use your imagination, so I may be getting a knock on the door over this. But I really don't care at this moment.
I understand. Well, there comes a time when you just get to the point, whatever comes, you have no choice.
Correct. And that's, I didn't directly threaten her or anything, but you know how these foreign agents are. They will make a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, it's called a thought crime. Whether you had a thought or not makes a difference. They can say what they want to say, and they do say what they want to say.
Absolutely, Pastor.
I mean, I've been before the FBI 3 or 4 times, a grand jury once, everything else, because of things I've said or didn't say, or they thought I might have done or said a thought. Well, I don't know, but I've been before it. So, yeah, they can, if they want you bad enough, they'll figure out a way to get to you.
Exactly. Now,
so anyway,
there was a lot more to that conversation, which we won't get into, but it got pretty heated. I was actually very, very high voice and very upset when I was talking to her. I was trying to put her in her place. But anyway, second thing that happened today, I go into the district court which is called the United States District Court for the Central District of California, which is in downtown Los Angeles, to file what's called a bill of accounting of a trust. And this is a rather popular action, which is, you know, taken back even in the early English days in common law. And what I was proposing to do was to file this into what's called in private or the private side. And, of course, the assistant clerks there, they were totally dumbfounded, didn't know what I was trying to do. And they were telling me, you got to fill out this form and that form. And I'm telling her, ma'am, I'm not in your jurisdiction, so your statutory stuff doesn't work or doesn't apply to me because I'm not part of your jurisdiction. So anyway, I went ahead and still continued to try to talk them into filing this. And they said that they would be able to actually stamp it as received, but they wouldn't file it until it goes before a judge. Now, I'm not really up on the federal rules of civil procedure, but I don't think there's anything in there. If you have your proper paperwork in line and it's pretty much the correct format, they have to take it. They have to take it and file it. And I was giving them the opportunity because this particular bill of accounting of a trust is naming, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. It's naming Jack Lew. It's naming Loretta Lynch. It's naming these top government officials because our trust is being violated by these criminals every day, and that would be called the Suscovy Trust. So to make a long story short, they went ahead, and what we believe is going on, I had a conversation with Thomas over this earlier, Thomas David Alcedegan, and what he thinks is that the actual paper law of, it's called the Law of Conquest, and he had spoken to one of his colleagues who happens to be a friend of Aaron, his name is Miles, and they were talking about this, and this paper conquest is happening without the knowledge of the people. And what they're doing is they're not taking us over so much physically or martial law type. They're doing it via paper. It's like a silent takeover, and it's been going on for many years. So our rights in court, if anybody understands the fact when you get to court, you really don't have a chance in court because you can't use their statutes and laws or whatever anyway because they don't apply, right?
Right.
So it's just becoming really, really bad. I think this was a testament to what's coming. It's getting worse and
absolutely
worse.
Absolutely, it is. It and is. There's no doubt about it. I've dealt with this for a long time, Leonard, and I've seen a lot of people still in jail because doing what's right. They're still there. And I've seen this. I know what this is. You're working against a stacked deck. We're running out of time quickly. Got to go to break here in about 3 minutes. So what would you want to share with us about the trust very quickly?
Well, I just wanted to make sure everybody understood what was happening here. Thomas David Alcedegan had drawn up a trust, and it's actually titled a Declaration and Indenture Covenant of a Trust. And in short, what it really means is that it is it's a document that's drawn up that's similar to like maybe a constitution or a Declaration of Independence. And what it's designed to do is to temporarily bridge our new society of what's called a jural society with civil authority, courts of records, lawful courts of records, I should say. And it's basically a document that will provide the lawful platform if we happen to get enforcement. And that's why I made the call out last Friday with Aaron filling in for you, Pastor Butch.
Mm-hmm.
I made the call out for the military to intervene once they had a chance to go over the evidence that we have that we're operating on a non-constitutional basis, that these foreign agents that... what we're dealing with here are foreign agents
what do people need to do? We got to get to that.
Well, you know what people need to do is to start contacting the flag and general officers online. There's a website for them, and these are former high-ranking rear admirals and generals and whatnot. And on that website, there's several email addresses and regular addresses. There may even be some phone numbers. And we need to inundate them with, you know, and tell them that they, because they've been submitted with this trust and these documents.
Okay, we're down to the last minute. We got to get to what you want. Tell us how to do it.
Well, you have to contact them and just demand that they honor the rule of law, and demand that they look into Phil Hudock's website, which is hudock.info, so they can get the proper information of the evidence that we have, which pertains to the unlawful incorporation of government and how they're purporting to be lawful government, being incorporated. There's just a number of different, I mean, I can go on and on.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, folks, you do need to go to hudock.info and check this out. If you're interested in this at all, check it out. Our children's future depends on doing something. Do something. We're down to about the last 10 seconds, Leonard. What are you going to say in closing?
Well, we're in trouble, folks, and we need to act now. And to sit on your thumbs at this time, you need to think, if you're not going to be doing this for yourself, you need to think about your children and grandchildren.
Amen. All right, Leonard, we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you, sir. Have a great one.
All right, folks. All right. And folks, back at the break with your phone calls like I promised.